It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those bit swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
Alas, it is me, Joe Pott, back in for Matt Pauly, still in for Matt Pauly for the most part. In fact, all through next week as well. Matt is still enjoying some time with his new addition at home, Annalie, and we are glad to be able to spell him and allow him to have said time at home. And again, that'll be all through next week as well. So we'll have one edition of Sports Open Line next week. We'll have the Cardinals coverage for you. One of those days is another afternoon game, and I think that's Thursday, and Jen and Nate will have the St. Louis Soccer Report again for you. I don't know if that's another caravan night or not next week, but so that is that, and it is Joe Pott, instead of Matt Pauly, here again on this Friday night for you, and of course on tonight, because the Cardinals have already played today. And what a day it was, and what a game it was, and what a way to open this series against the Chicago Cubs. Cardinals, of course, last time we talked on this program, it was the Monday night, and they were coming off the split series against the Colorado Rockies, which I think we all agreed was a little bit of a disappointment. So since then, they have won the series against the Pirates, and now it's three straight wins for the Redbirds. They're back to the 500 mark at 34-34. And while you might say there is nothing to celebrate being 500, maybe not. Maybe there is less to celebrate. Maybe in your eyes there is not as much to celebrate by being 500. But let me tell you, and I said this then, I think this team is relevant in the National League. And that is what you want if you are a Cardinals fan. They are relevant in the National League. They are relevant in the National League Central Division as the games get started here tonight, and they are all starting to get underway here in the next little bit. Games in the East, of course, are getting underway just about now, and then another hour or so we'll get games in the Central. But the Cards right now are six games back of the Brewers in the National League Central Division. They're now a game separated from the Reds. They're two over the Cubs and the Pirates. Even just a couple of days ago, the Cards were sitting in fifth place in the National League Central Division with all of the other teams tied for second place. And more than that, when you look right now at the current wild card standings, the Cardinals are one half game up on the rest of the National League in the last wild card spot. So, again, you can make what you want of the fact that they are only 500, whatever it is. They are doing what the rest of the league is doing right now for the most part. They are in the wild card position. Now, nobody is satisfied with 500. Nobody wants to just be sneaking into that last spot. But I think that at this point, this is what Tony La Russa used to always say, right? You got to get to 500. Then you got to get to 10 games above 500. Those are kind of the two benchmarks. You don't even start talking about anything until you're at 500. So check mark. And now it's getting over 500 and seeing where you can go from there. And the good thing is, on the other side of that, the good thing is you are going to get back Lars Nupar. You are going to get back Wilson Contreras. Wilson Contreras could be in the next 7 to 10 days. It may be sooner than that. I mean, it is moving along extremely quick. They originally were saying all-star break but it looks like it'll be well before the All-Star break. So you have that, and then once you get Lars Nootbaar back and maybe Tommy Edman, who started taking BP with the team last week at Busch Stadium, now you're talking about a little bit more of a complete roster when it comes to hitters. You're certainly talking about a much better rounded bench, a more well-rounded bench. So when you have situations like you had the other night against the Pittsburgh Pirates on Tuesday night when they opened that series, you have some more options there in the ninth inning. That was the game they lost 2-1 before they went on to win the next two. But I think that that's really where you want to be. And you are getting the pitching, no question about it. Boy, what a performance today by Kyle Gibson, which, by the way, has been going on all year. He has been exactly as advertised, eating the innings. Today, 7 shutout innings. Yes, the wind was blowing in, but the Cardinals then got a key big hit in the 7th inning. They got the first home run of the career. I'm sorry, that was the 8th inning, the first home run in the career of the Cards catcher, Pedro Páez. Here's what it sounded like.
Here's a swing and a high fly ball. That's hit deep to left field against the wind, and that ball is in the basket for a home run. Ian Happ jumping, but the ball made the basket for Pedro Páez's first major league home run. 1-0 Cardinals in the 8th inning.
John Rooney, of course, with the call here on KMOX. The Cardinals added a couple of runs. They also had some tremendous defense today, playing in windy conditions at Wrigley Field. All around, really good game, really good way to open that series in Chicago. We will talk more Cardinals baseball with our first guest, which is on the other side of the break. That's Polo Asensio. He is the Spanish voice of the Cardinals. We are going to talk some St. Louis City coming up this hour. Tyler Terrence will call that game tomorrow against Dallas on Apple TV. And then we'll hear from Bill Lindsay as well. He is one of the Florida Panthers radio broadcasters. That'll come up in the 7 o'clock hour. Lots to do here on Sports Open Line, and we are coming back with Polo Asensio on the other side of the break on KMOX. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Back in on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on a Friday night after a Cardinals win against the Cubs at Wrigley Field. What could be better? Well, I'll tell you what could be better. We could be joined by the Spanish voice of the Cardinals, Polo Asensio, and we are indeed. Polo, what's happening, man?
Joe, you're being way too kind because Dallas, a hell of a game. I'm very happy for the win. And first of all, thank you again for giving me a chance to talk to you and everybody who's listening to you guys. But I'm very happy for Pedro Páez. You know, this is a kid that nobody expected him to be here. We didn't believe it when he came up, right? Because of Wilson getting hurt. But the job he's been doing behind the plate, all of his teammates, and especially the manager, Oliver Marmol, talked about his job and his work ethic behind the plate to learn all the pitchers, pitches. And today, I mean, he did a great job with Kyle Gibson, bringing in those balls right on the line, like creating havoc behind the plate. And then in the 8th inning to hit that home run in front of friends and family. I talked to him yesterday before the team went on the road to Chicago, and he told me he was very excited because some of his family members have never seen him play in the big leagues because he just got here and they were going to be in Chicago and then in Miami. He is from Florida. So I'm very happy for him. And this was a great win, great way to start the road trip, great way to go back to 500. And hopefully this team keeps going and going and going, because I think we're getting tired of waiting, right? We're getting tired of waiting for that run. We had a good run a couple of weeks ago. Let's start another one. And I think today we start another run.
I'm so glad you mentioned Pedro Páez, because this is a guy that, look, all you can ask is when guys get their opportunities that they make the best of it, right? They make the most of it. And he has done that and then some. He was out there to catch Michaelis's great start against the Pirates this week. In fact, he made back-to-back starts in the homestand. And then, of course, today, as you mentioned, leading Kyle Gibson through that start in a windy Wrigley Field that can play havoc upon anybody. Yeah. And then, obviously, yeah, as you mentioned, the big home run. But I said this a little bit earlier today on the station, that when Wilson Contreras goes out hurt, you know, it could have been like, okay, fold the tents up. This is going to be a rough 6 weeks. It's going to be terrible. It's not been that, and it's been because of not just Pedro Páez, but obviously the play of Ivan Herrera, and those two have done such a good job in the absence of Wilson Contreras.
You are absolutely right. Like, and tell me, like, show of hands, who thought this was going to happen? Nobody.
Right.
Right? Maybe Pedro, maybe Ivan, but outside of that, we were all expecting, hoping for something good. Well, we got something really good. And don't be surprised, Joe, if when Wilson comes back, I mean, whenever he is, he actually posted something on his Instagram today. He is hitting full-on pitches now. I mean, think about this. This guy got a broken arm 4 weeks ago, and today he is hitting just pitches from the machine and everything. He did a lot of bullpens this homestand for the Cardinals. So don't be surprised if he meets the team in Miami, or for sure when the team comes back and faces the Giants here. But it's just phenomenal what those guys are doing. It's phenomenal the way the pitchers are trusting Pedro and, like you said, Ivan. And don't be surprised, as I was saying, if when Wilson comes back, we carry three catchers. You have Wilson starting most of it. Then you have Pedro behind Wilson. And you have a power hitter like Ivan Herrera in the bench, or perhaps flip and flop them. But I like it. I like that trio for now, a duo. And hopefully, you know, you are right. Hopefully I am right. And that's the way it goes. And that's the way we come back. Because, again, the Central is there for the taking. The wild card in the National League is there for the taking. And I believe we are due a bigger run than the one we had a couple of weeks ago. And it's just, I mean, I'm excited. As you know, I'm always excited. I'm always happy to be at the stadium and do my job.
I was just going to say, that's right, unlike you, right? You're usually so mild-mannered and reserved.
Always very quiet. Always, I'm the quiet one. So I see something good happening. I see something good happening. And you know, the pitchers are holding their own. The bullpen, as we know, you know, we have the big three with Helsley, JoJo, Romero, and Kittredge. But the other guys, you know, Ryan Fernandez doing a fantastic job. John King, fantastic job. Roy Croft, fantastic job. Now let's wait and see what O'Brien brings when he comes back, what Gio and which Gio we get when he comes back. And I believe this bullpen, you know, not only the big three, but it could be the big seven.
Paulo Asensio is with us. He's the Spanish language voice of the Cardinals. And I really agree with you. And it's something else that I've talked about, that yes, you have the big three, but when you have the opportunity to spell them, and every inning, every outing that you save them here is one that can come back at the end of October, or the end of September rather, or into October. But the other guys in the bullpen have been absolutely tremendous. We saw it in a game like yesterday where it's a short start for Lance Lynn and they don't have to use as many of the guys. Kittredge did end up closing out that game yesterday, but they do have a lot of pieces here. And you're right. As I look today, I started the show talking about the fact that the Cardinals right now are a half a game in front of everybody else for a wild card spot.
I mean, Ryan Fernandez today, the eighth inning,
yes.
You, me, and everybody else thought, okay, let's bring in JoJo in the eighth inning. No. Ali said, you know what, let's change it. Let's look for something different. He brings in Ryan Fernandez. He did a phenomenal job. And then, obviously, the wind helped a little bit to keep that fly ball from Patrick Wisdom. But at the eighth, it's Chicago, right? The ball can stay. And we are happy that it was for us. Today was for us. Hopefully tomorrow is also for us. I'm excited for the second half of the season. I know we only have, like, we played 67, 68 games, but I think the next 95 or whatever it is are going to be very exciting baseball. I mean, the next homestand is going to be crucial with the Giants, you know, a team that's in the race. Then you have the Braves, a team that is also in the race. It's gonna be fun, man. This summer, I expect a fun summer with a lot of fireworks here at Busch Stadium.
And here's the thing, Polo. You and I have seen it. You much more than I have. You're with these guys. You're inside the clubhouse. You're on the bus, on things like that. This is not a team that I have ever felt like was ever in a situation where they were just kind of like down on themselves or, you know, kicking the dirt. Boy, here we go again. I always felt like the attitude, the mindset in that clubhouse has been one of, yeah, we might be underachieving right now, but watch out, because when all the pieces come together, we're going to show you. And I feel like that is starting to take place.
You know what there was? There was a lot of head scratching.
Yeah.
A lot of head scratching because what's going on? Why are we not winning more games? Well, little by little, you're winning games. And the other thing that I've noticed, and especially this last homestand, and I talked about it with Ollie and other people in the clubhouse, the play of Nolan Arenado. I mean, he is not hitting home runs. We see that. He is not hitting 300. We see that. But he has been hustling a lot more. Like, we've seen him, you know, the grounders, the shortstop, the third base, he doesn't run all the way, but now he's running all the way. He had a couple of doubles here at Busch that maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, he doesn't even try to go to second. This time he took a chance. He got there. Tonight, today in Chicago, he took a chance. He was at second. Then next thing you know, he's scoring a run. So those little plays from the guy who is your leader or is supposed to be your leader on the team, do you think that other guys don't notice that? Do you think that the other kids, that the young kids, and even the Goldsmiths of the world, you know, the Carpenters, the Crawfords, when they come in and play, they don't notice that? They're like, hey, if Nolan is doing that, we can all do that. And that's what I see, and that's what I like. And you're right. Nobody was feeling sorry for the Cardinals outside of St. Louis. Nobody was feeling sorry for the Cardinals inside the clubhouse. A lot of head scratching. But like I said already, I think this summer is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I appreciate the point on Nolan Arenado. I think of that game, again, against the Pirates, the Tuesday night game, where he also made the two fantastic defensive plays.
Yes.
And it felt like vintage Nolan Arenado. There's no question about it. We've talked a lot.
He felt challenged, man. He felt challenged because on the other side, and I called it, you know, during the game, when he robbed Ke'Bryan Hayes of a double,
yep,
and then going diving for the ball, and as he dives, he touches the bag. I called it in Spanish that he just robbed a double from the guy who stole his gold glove, and he's telling him, "Hey, you might have it, but I'm going back and getting it." And that's what I said in Spanish. So it's fun when you see a Nolan like that. A Nolan that is inspired inspires everybody.
I feel that same way, and I felt the same way about Miles Michaelis' performance that night. Everybody's talking about, yeah, Paul Skeens.
Nah.
And here's the vet, Miles Michaelis, saying,
don't count me.
Yeah, look
don't,
what I can
don't
do, right?
Me, don't count me there, Joe. Don't count me there. Don't count me there. You know, Skeens, yeah, good start. Six and a third, six or eight strikeouts. Hey, that's pretty normal, right? Yeah, I get it. The kid is 22. That's fine. You know, but guess what? He's not a Cardinal. I'm not going to applaud that. It was a good start. It was not a great start. It was not six innings and 15 strikeouts. No. It was a good start. But guess who had a better start? Your guy, Michaelis. And like you just said, not only a good start, but also a better mustache. So I go with my mustache.
I loved that. Well, Polo, I appreciate you taking some time. I knew you were going to bring the energy, especially after a shutout win of the Cubs at Wrigley Field.
Oh, man.
I look forward to your predictions coming through, and I'll be excited to have a lot of fun this summer and a lot of fireworks at Busch Stadium, as you said.
Hey, why not? I mean, I don't pay for those fireworks.
That's right.
Fire them all every single night.
Polo, thanks,
thank
man.
You, Joe. Have
always,
fun, man. Thank
yes,
you.
Always appreciated. That is the Spanish voice of the Cardinals, the Cardinales. That would be Polo Asensio. He and Benji Molina, of course, you can catch them anywhere. You can catch them on the TV broadcast, too, if you use that SAP button on your TV. But they are also WIJR Radio. But great to catch up with Polo and talk a little Cardinals baseball. We'll switch gears. We'll talk about some St. Louis City SC soccer. They've got Dallas tomorrow. And we'll talk with Tyler Terrence, who's going to call that game. That's coming up. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line. I'm Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. We're right back after the break on Camo X. Joe Pott back in on the Graybar Sports Open Line in for Matt Pauly here on this Friday night. We're getting ready to talk a little MLS soccer in just a bit. The St. Louis City will be on the road tomorrow as they take on FC Dallas. That'll be a 7:30 game tomorrow night. Of course, you can hear that game on our sister station, Y98. And it'll be the second meeting between these two teams in the MLS season. They met earlier in the year, back on April 6th. And would you be surprised to know it was a draw in that game, a scoreless draw nonetheless. I think that that's been one of the things, one of the stories about St. Louis City's second season here. And when we get a chance to connect here with our next guest, we'll talk to him about that. Tyler Terrence is the one of the play-by-play broadcasters for the Apple TV broadcasts for Major League Soccer games this year. So he'll join us here shortly on the program. And we'll have a chance to talk to him just about, you know, what he sees in leading up to this match with FC Dallas and kind of going forward for St. Louis City here as they we now play, you know, mid-June. Again, Tyler Terrence will call that game tomorrow night in Dallas, St. Louis City and FC Dallas. And Tyler joins us now here on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. Tyler, thanks so much for taking some time tonight.
No, absolutely, Joe. My pleasure. Glad to be on with you guys.
When you take a look at these two teams, and obviously from our standpoint, specifically St. Louis City, as you get set to do this game, what kind of strikes you about this team in St. Louis City? And one that I think as we look at it, I think we're all kind of surprised to see, at least at this point, a lack of scoring.
Yeah, it's been a tough, you know, first half of the season when you stack it up against what was the magical 2023 run. And I know that a lot of fans are going to be surprised, and the players and the coaching staff and everybody I talk to around St. Louis City is obviously disappointed with the start and surprised at the lack of goals in particular. But, you know, if you talk to people, especially most of those at the league who had picked St. Louis to finish in 13th or 14th place in the Western Conference, they would have thought initially that they – you know, had it right, but St. Louis City overperformed last year. And what's striking me about this group this year is that, yes, you guys are creating chances, and there's a lot of coaches in this league when they're not winning games, and, you know, St. Louis City have only won a few this year, they'll say we're knocking on the door and, you know, just trust the process, and if we had done X, Y, and Z, then we might be in a better position. But I think St. Louis City, for me, Joe, is probably one of the few teams where I actually believe that. I actually think that there have been some really poor unfortunate results. And the game against Miami was a really difficult one, and finishing that 3-3 and talking with Tim Parker, you know, he said the same thing. He said that there have been some really good draws on the road. There have been some bad losses at home, and you sort of combine those all together and, you know, you wind up with 9 draws or whatever it is. So It's just a group. It's just a group that I think is desperate for that launching platform. And hopefully they can get it in Frisco tomorrow night.
So when you look at Dallas, tomorrow night's opponent is because the record is somewhat similar. The two teams played to a draw earlier this year here at City Park. But is that an example of one of those teams that maybe isn't you don't maybe expect them to live up to that as City, as you said, you might expect City to?
Yeah, I think they are.
If I was clear, sorry.
No, Joe, you're spot on. No, 100%. You know, Dallas up until last weekend, and Kendra and I, who my broadcast partner, covered the Minnesota FC Dallas game last weekend, and we, you know, were on the call for the final game for Nico Esteves before he got fired, and it was pretty boring to watch. Honestly, they were a team that you know, possessed a lot of the ball. There was just no bite to them. There was no creativity in the final third, and most of those players were there in 2022 when they got to, you know, the second round of the postseason. They scored a lot of goals, but they've been pretty stale offensively. And Dallas 100% is one of those teams this year up until now, because now under the new regime of Peter Lussan, we don't know what we're going to get. And he says he's going to play an attractive style. And Paul Arriola, you know, one of their designated players, says that they're going to be on the front foot. So who knows? But up until this point, yes, Dallas was one of those groups where I didn't necessarily believe in them and believe that they were going to turn it around just due to the basic eye test in terms of what I've seen so far this season.
Can they get a jump from a regime change?
100%. I am a firm believer in the new coach bump. I always think that that's going to be something that the players are going to rally around. You know, it's the old cliche, a change is as good as a rest. And, you know, to hear a different voice at the helm, even though Peter Lussan has been with the club for years now as a scout, as an assistant coach and the whole thing, I think that this group is going to rally around it. How many games? I don't know, because that's typically the tricky one is you can rattle off a win or two, and especially during the hot summer months, and Frisco's a really difficult place to play, and Tim Parker was the first one to tell us that. It's muggy, it's hot, it's difficult. You never know what you're going to get from a fan turnout standpoint, unlike City Park, which is sold out basically every single weekend. So it's just it's a tricky one. But I do believe that this is a group in Dallas that probably is going to rally around Peter, who was a magnificent player in his own right for the likes of Atletico Madrid and PSG back in the day.
The end of this week training here in St. Louis might have been just what they've needed to prepare to play in Frisco, because it is hot and humid and muggy, and it feels like a Midwest summer here. So
I'm with you. I live in Cincinnati, and I was in Northern Kentucky playing a little golf before my flight, headed over to Dallas today, and I was sweating like a wildebeest. It was not fun out there.
If you don't mind, I want to ask you a couple of other things off of the MLS topic, because the Copa America roster was released today for St. Louisans. Of course, Josh Sargent, Tim Ream included on that roster. Big surprises for you on that roster, maybe left off or on that you didn't expect?
No surprises for me, really, especially when you look at what happened during the most recent window in the games against Colombia and Brazil in the Nashville.
St. Louis City will be on the road tomorrow as they take on FC Dallas. That'll be a 7:30 game tomorrow night. Of course, you can hear that game on our sister station, Y98. And it'll be the second meeting between these two teams in the MLS season. They met earlier in the year, back on April 6th. And would you be surprised to know it was a draw in that game, a scoreless draw nonetheless. I think that's been one of the things, one of the stories about St. Louis City's second season here. And when we get a chance to connect here with our next guest, we'll talk to him about that. Tyler Terrence is the one of the play-by-play broadcasters for the Apple TV broadcasts for Major League Soccer games this year. So he'll join us here shortly on the program. And we'll have a chance to talk to him just about what he sees in leading up to this match with FC Dallas and kind of going forward for St. Louis City here as we now play, mid-June. Again, Tyler Terrence will call that game tomorrow night in Dallas, St. Louis City and FC Dallas. And Tyler joins us now here on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. Tyler, thanks so much for taking some time tonight.
No, absolutely, Joe. My pleasure. Glad to be on with you guys.
When you take a look at these two teams, and obviously from our standpoint, specifically St. Louis City, as you get set to do this game, what kind of strikes you about this team in St. Louis City, and one that I think as we look at it, I think we're all kind of surprised to see, at least at this point, a lack of scoring?
Yeah, it's been a tough first half of the season when you stack it up against what was the magical 2023 run. And I know that a lot of fans are going to be surprised, and the players and the coaching staff and everybody I talk to around St. Louis City is obviously disappointed with the start and surprised at the lack of goals in particular. But if you talk to people, especially most of those at the league who had picked St. Louis to finish in 13th or 14th place in the Western Conference, they would have thought initially that they, had it right, but St. Louis City overperformed last year. And what's striking me about this group this year is that, yes, you guys are creating chances, and there's a lot of coaches in this league when they're not winning games, and, St. Louis City have only won a few this year. They'll say we're knocking on the door and, just trust the process, and if we had done X, Y, and Z, then we might be in a better position. But I think St. Louis City, for me, Joe, is probably one of the few teams where I actually believe that. I actually think that there have been some really poor unfortunate results. And the game against Miami was a really difficult one, and finishing that 3-3 and talking with Tim Parker, he said the same thing. He said that there have been some really good draws on the road. There have been some bad losses at home, and you sort of combine those all together and, you wind up with 9 draws or whatever it is. So
yep.
It's just a group that I think is desperate for that launching platform. And hopefully they can get it in Frisco tomorrow night.
So when you look at Dallas, tomorrow night's opponent is because the record is somewhat similar. The two teams played to a draw earlier this year here at City Park. But is that an example of one of those teams that maybe you don't maybe expect them to live up to that as City, as you said, you might expect City to?
Yeah, I think they are.
If I was clear, sorry.
No, Joe, you're spot on. No, 100%. Dallas up until last weekend, and Kendra and I, who my broadcast partner, covered the Minnesota FC Dallas game last weekend, and we you know, were on the call for the final game for Nico Esteves before he got fired. And it was pretty boring to watch, honestly. They were a team that, you know, possessed a lot of the ball. There was just no bite to them. There was no creativity in the final third. And most of those players were there in 2022 when they got to, you know, the second round of the postseason. They scored a lot of goals, but they've been pretty stale offensively. And Dallas 100% is one of those teams this year up until now, because now under the new regime of Peter Lussan, we don't know what we're going to get. And he says he's going to play an attractive style. And Paul Arriola, you know, one of their designated players, says that they're going to be on the front foot. So who knows? But up until this point, yes, Dallas was one of those groups where I didn't necessarily believe in them and believe that they were going to turn it around, just due to the basic eye test in terms of what I've seen so far this season.
Can they get a jump from a regime change?
100%. I am a firm believer in the new coach bump. I always think that that's going to be something that the players are going to rally around. You know, it's the old cliche, a change is as good as a rest. And, you know, to hear a different voice at the helm, even though Peter Lussan has been with the club for years now as a scout, as an assistant coach and the whole thing, I think that this group is going to rally around it. How many games? I don't know, because that's typically the tricky one is you can rattle off a win or two, and especially during the hot summer months, and Frisco's a really difficult place to play, and Tim Parker was the first one to tell us that. It's muggy, it's hot, it's difficult. You never know what you're going to get from a fan turnout standpoint, unlike City Park, which is sold out basically every single weekend. So it's just it's a tricky one. But I do believe that this is a group in Dallas that probably is going to rally around Peter, who was a magnificent player in his own right for the likes of Atletico Madrid and PSG back in the day.
The end of this week training here in St. Louis might have been just what they've needed to prepare to play in Frisco, because it is hot and humid and muggy, and it feels like a Midwest summer here. So
I'm with you. I live in Cincinnati, and I was in Northern Kentucky playing a little golf before my flight, headed over to Dallas today, and I was sweating like a wildebeest. It was not fun out there.
If you don't mind, I want to ask you a couple of other things off of the MLS topic, because the Copa America roster was released today for St. Louisans. Of course, Josh Sargent, Tim Ream included on that roster. Big surprises for you on that roster, maybe left off or on that you didn't expect?
No surprises for me, really, especially when you look at what happened during the most recent window in the games against Colombia and Brazil. And then as for your St. Louisans, obviously the Josh Sargent one is tricky with the injury and everything like that. And coming into Copa America, I think before the injury, everybody probably would have thought that he would have gotten the first start against Colombia and then would have been given chances after that based upon his performances against Colombia. And, you know, it might end up being a good thing that he wasn't on the field for that disaster in Baltimore. So, you know, Josh is an interesting one. And then for my money, Joe, Tim Ream was the man of the match against Brazil. I thought he was magnificent on the ball, just so calm and so poised. And I think that the guys around him really fed off of that. And that was a big reason why we were able to, you know, take it to one of the majors in the almighty Brazil. So, you know, really positive things to the St. Louisans.
Chatting with Tyler Terrence, who is a soccer aficionado, but calls games for Apple TV, MLS. So last thing for you, and this was something that my producer clued me into, so I thank him for letting me know, but your grandpa, Harold Terrence, a World War II vet, someone that was on the beaches at Normandy, and of course you were back there and you were with him, you were back there for the anniversary earlier, I guess it was last week, but can you just share a little bit, because I do think that is a really cool story.
Oh my God, it was unlike any experience I've ever had. And as a friend told me when he was asking me about it, he said it's not just the trip of a lifetime, it's the trip of a million lifetimes. To be with him back at Normandy and to be around so many World War II veterans, because there were about 50 or 60 who made the trip, and you know, if you're doing the math, you can't really be younger than 97 or 98 years old and be back there unless you were lying about your age going into the war. But it was nothing short of spectacular. Obviously a really sobering and somber venue, but such a rewarding one. And seeing these veterans getting French Legion of Honors pinned on them, shaking hands with President Biden, seeing the amount of respect that not only the Americans who made the trip, but also to see firsthand just how much gratitude still exists within the French, and particularly those who are from Normandy. The amount of people that came up to my grandfather and with tears in their eyes, thanking him for what he did, you know, that was a war and a landing and an operation that was nothing short of just, you know, America at that point doing the right thing, Canada at that point doing the right thing and getting involved in the war and liberating Europe. And Normandy has not forgotten, and there's a reason why it's called the 51st state of the United States. So it was beyond cool. And the kicker of the entire thing, Joe, was that my grandfather met a woman a couple of years ago who was 94 at the time, and they decided to get married in Carentan. So my grandfather is 100, and she's now 96, and they got married at the town hall in Carentan. And the amount of media that was present for there was pretty incredible. And then they went straight down to Paris to go be the guests of honor at President Macron, the president of France, his head of state dinner in Paris, where Joe Biden was also present with Nancy Pelosi. So they had a whirlwind of a week, and they just enjoyed every single moment of it, and deservedly so. And I'm really, really proud to call Harold Terrence my grandpa, because he's a pretty cool dude.
That's legit like a fantasy movie. Like,
yes,
everything about it. I mean, that is so cool. And I hope you don't mind me asking about it. Like I said, he clued me into it. I kind of read into it a little bit. I knew that the wedding had taken place. I just think it is completely awesome, and I think it's great also that you and your family got to share that with him.
Yeah, it was incredible, and no worries at all. I'm happy to talk about that. He's a true hero, and it deserves to continue to make its way around the media.
That is so cool. Well, tomorrow night, it's a 7:30 kick in Frisco. It's FC Dallas. It's St. Louis City SC. That's why we got you on, and I appreciate you chatting about that and about Copa America and certainly about your grandpa. We'll certainly be watching tomorrow, and thanks again for some time tonight, Tyler.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
Tyler Terrence with us here, MLS, Apple TV, also Sirius. He covers soccer really from all sides, and so we appreciate him taking the time. And I do think that I read that story, and it was Matt Pajeski, who's one of our producers, who clued us into that story. And I think that was so cool, and it's obviously so timely with the anniversary having just gone by, and that he got to share that with his grandpa. Harold Terrence is his grandpa's name. He was actually there bringing back prisoners of war off the beaches of Normandy. So really cool and worth a share. So glad to be able to do that. We will take a break. We'll come back. We'll finish up this 6 o'clock hour, chat a little bit more. And we've got more to come, of course, in the 7 o'clock hour as well. Still to come, we're going to hear from Bill Lindsay, the Florida Panthers radio analyst. I've got a cool guest coming up at the end of the or later in the 7 o'clock hour. But I'll tell you about that when we come back. It's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. I'm Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. You're listening to Camo X. Joe Pott back in on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on this Friday night in for Matt Pauly as we wrap up the 6 o'clock hour. As I mentioned, we do have some still have some fun to come in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll talk to Bill Lindsay. He's the Florida Panthers radio analyst. The Panthers are on the precipice of their first ever Stanley Cup championship. They have now a 3-0 lead in the finals, thanks to a win last night. And that was what turned out to be a much closer game than it appeared. At one point, they took a big lead in that game, but Edmonton came back. Florida does win it. And so they have not won the championship before. Bill Lindsay was a player with the Florida Panthers when they were in the Stanley Cup the very first time. So we'll talk to him. But the other thing I mentioned that I've got a cool guest coming up, and this will be probably around probably that 7:35 mark or so in our second hour. So Marquette King is a former NFL punter. He is currently a punter in the UFL for the Arlington Renegades. He previously punted here in St. Louis for the St. Louis Battlehawks in the first go-round of the XFL. So that's when they started up in 2020, and then of course only played, I think, 4 or 5 games before being shut down due to COVID. And he was on that team, and again in the NFL before coming to the XFL. But he also is a musician, and he makes hip-hop music, dance music, pop music, and he is going to be performing at halftime of the UFL championship game, which, of course, is here Sunday night in the Dome at America's Center. Now, obviously not including the Battlehawks, which that, I think, would have been best-case scenario for all involved. I heard a good piece from one of the folks with the UFL. They said, obviously, they had couldn't do anything about this. They said, you know, that they did not put the championship game here in St. Louis because they wanted the Battlehawks to be there. They put it here because of the fan support for the Battlehawks and, of course, hoping that the Battlehawks would get there. And obviously they came up short in the XFL Conference Championship game against San Antonio last week. But everyone that I have heard from, everyone that I've talked to, as they're really confident that it is still going to be a really good showing Sunday night at the Dome, that it's still going to be a lot of fun. There are plenty of tickets available at the UFL.com to go out and check out that game. But you could also see our guest, Marquette King. And again, that'll be coming up about 7:30 or so that we'll chat with him. I actually taped this tape. Sounds funny to say I taped it because I recorded it. There is no tape anymore involved when recording something like that. I had a chance to record it yesterday. He was out at the Cardinals game. He was at Busch Stadium for the final game against the Pirates. And just taking in the game, the Cardinals knew this, and they set it up so we had a chance to visit. So that was really cool. It was fun just to get a chance to talk with him. But he's going to be, I think, a really cool act as well for the halftime, the UFL Championship. So we have got the second hour of our Graybar Sports Open line on tap here. It'll come up after the news. We can chat a little more baseball. We can chat a little bit more St. Louis City. And then we'll have Bill Lindsay, and then we'll have Marquette King. That's all coming up on the other side of the news and the break. Marie will be in with news, and I'll be back in the 7 o'clock hour. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. It's the Graybar Sports Open line on KMOX. And to come in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Bill Lindsay. He's the Florida Panthers radio analyst. The Panthers are on the precipice of their first ever Stanley Cup championship. They have now a 3-0 lead in the finals, thanks to a win last night. And that was what turned out to be a much closer game than it appeared at one point. They took a big lead in that game, but Edmonton came back. Florida does win it. And so they have not won the championship before. Bill Lindsay was a player with the Florida Panthers when they were in the Stanley Cup the very first time. So we'll talk to him. But the other thing I said, I mentioned that I've got a cool guest coming up, and this will be probably around probably that 7:35 mark or so in our second hour. So Marquette King is a former NFL punter. He is currently a punter in the UFL for the Arlington Renegades. He previously punted here in St. Louis for the St. Louis Battlehawks in the first go-round of the XFL. So that's when they started up in 2020, and then, of course, only played, I think, 4 or 5 games before being shut down due to COVID. And he was on that team, and again, in the NFL before coming to the XFL. But he also is a musician, and he makes hip-hop music, dance music, pop music, and he is going to be performing at halftime of the UFL Championship game, which, of course, is here Sunday night in the Dome at America Center. Now, obviously not including the Battlehawks, which that, I think, would have been best-case scenario for all involved. I heard a good piece from one of the folks with the UFL. They said, obviously, they couldn't do anything about this. They said, you know, that they did not put the championship game here in St. Louis because they wanted the Battlehawks to be there. They put it here because of the fan support for the Battlehawks and, of course, hoping that the Battlehawks would get there. And obviously, they came up short in the XFL Conference Championship game against San Antonio last week. But everyone that I have heard from, everyone that I've talked to, as they're really confident that it is still going to be a really good showing Sunday night at the Dome, that it's still going to be a lot of fun. There are plenty of tickets available at the UFL.com to go out and check out that game. But you could also see our guest, Marquette King. And again, that'll be coming up about 7:30 or so that we'll chat with him. I actually taped this tape. It's funny to say I taped it because I recorded it. There is no tape anymore involved when recording something like that. I had a chance to record it yesterday. He was out at the Cardinals game. He was at Busch Stadium for the final game against the Pirates. And just taking in the game, the Cardinals knew this, and they set it up so we had a chance to visit. So that was really cool. It was fun just to get a chance to talk with him. but he's going to be, I think, a really cool act as well for the halftime, the UFL Championship. So we have got the second hour of our Graybar Sports Open line on tap here. It'll come up after the news. We can chat a little more baseball. We can chat a little bit more St. Louis City. And then we'll have Bill Lindsay, and then we'll have Marquette King. That's all coming up on the other side of the news and the break. Maria will be in with news, and I'll be back in the 7 o'clock hour. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.